Kids, food's here.
Wait, one pizza? What is this, Les Mis?
Yes, it's a dignified family symposium, David, not some all-one-can-consume smorgasbord.
Don't be an animal, son.
The winds are changing this week as the motel franchise deal moves forward, leading to concrete plans of the Roses moving to New York and Stevie taking the helm for setting up the new motels. Patrick's hesitancy to move is revealed as he surprises David with the cottage of his Kate Winslet dreams, but will that be enough to make David stay? Moira gets a surprising offer to return after turning down the Sunrise Bay reboot, and Twyla drops a bomb that has us all gasping for air. It's the penultimate episode, and it's a roller coaster. Season 6, Episode 13, Start Spreading the News, starts now.
Start spreading the news. Bum, ba-da-da. Dun, 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 I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Welcome to Shitlist.
Of course, you all got the luxury of hearing me sing that 2 weeks in a row now. You're welcome.
How lucky are we?
So good. The title of the episode, though, I have no choice. I had to sing.
Spreading the news.
Such a good episode, Stephanie.
It is. This feels like, in some ways, it could have been the finale.
It could have been the finale.
It could have.
The penultimate episode. I do not understand why the second to last is called penultimate. Can you please explain
this? You mentioned that last week.
Because pen, to me, is like written, like the written portion of it. And the ultimate, to me, sounds like it should be the final. So why is it not the final?
I do not
Please,
know.
Please, somebody tell me the etymology of that word. Of this. So it's got to be, it's penultimate though. I'm very happy to be doing this episode. I think it's very fitting that you are also doing next week's episode, considering your stage of life. So I'm very excited to jump into these last two episodes.
Yes.
We did not do any polls this week. We gave everyone, including ourselves,
everyone's on winter break right now. Yes, poll-wise. But today is, as this episode comes out, is Christmas Eve. So happy Christmas Eve to everybody.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
People are like
Sunday, Christmas
doing some last-minute present wrapping or stocking stuffing.
Or, God forbid, shopping if you're that
shopping. What are you doing? But also, I've been there.
I have too. I have.
I
gone
actually
to the mall
just
on Christmas
got
Eve
all
before.
My. I finished my Christmas shopping today after work. I had a couple last minute things. Got those all checked off my list. Got everything wrapped under the tree.
Nice.
This might be the earliest I've been completely ready in a while. So
Joe was going out today and there were just two gift cards that I needed at this point. And I said, hey, why don't you take my credit card and just like pick those up for me?
Yeah.
So then I remembered when he got back, the one thing I do need still, and our family is not celebrating till after Christmas, after the new year, even the first weekend of the new year. So I have a little bit of time. We're doing like a game. So I need a $20 gift for the game. So not technically done, but as far as gifts for specific people, I am done. So,
Katie, what are your New Year's Eve traditions? Do you have?
Well, as you know, I like to party typically.
You do.
The last time I did that, I broke the world though. And yeah,
well, that was
things
New
went
Year's
to
Eve.
Shit. That was 2020 New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about like
Christmas Eve? Did I say New Year's Eve?
You said New Year's Eve.
Oh, sorry. That's next week. What do you do for Christmas Eve?
So this year, we're kind of different every year because my family celebrates a different weekend, just depending on when everyone's schedules line up. We used to always do Christmas Eve at my mom's and go to church and stuff, but obviously that's been a long time. But this year, we are going to be home, just the two of us. We're going to be home on Christmas Eve, and we're going to go to Joe's family's on Christmas Day and celebrate with them.
Okay.
But we did make reservations, like, for the two of us at a nice restaurant for Christmas Eve at Cooper's Hawk, one of our favorite places. So
I think that's where we went last year or 2 years ago with you and Joe. So
when you're here next week, we're not going to go there. Just
no, we can go somewhere else.
We'll just go somewhere closer anyway.
Yes.
But we just, like, we're like, oh, let's go somewhere nicer since it's Christmas Eve and it'll just be the two of us. So that's what we're doing. You guys have like a normal family thing on Christmas Eve?
We don't have like any set tradition.
Oh, no, because you were with us on Christmas Eve.
I was with you last year.
And the year before we went to Bistro, remember?
I think we did do 2 years in a row Christmas Eve. This year we're coming up to Michigan on or actually, no, last year wasn't Christmas Eve because we didn't come out to Michigan until Christmas Day there was a snowstorm.
We just made a point to get together. Yes. That's right.
But we are, our plans always kind of change. Growing up, we never had set plans. I also had divorced parents, so it was back and forth a lot.
Oh, yeah, you have a lot of places to celebrate.
Yes, lots of relatives to see. This year, we're coming up, we will have come up on the 30 or the 23rd. And then Christmas Eve, I'm going to meet my cousin Jenny. We're going to do an escape room.
Oh, the escape room.
And then we're going to go out to lunch together with her son. So that will be a fun, quirky, different tradition. And then I'm sure we'll do like some sort of dinner at my mom's Christmas Eve night. And then have Christmas Day morning. Open presents, fall asleep.
And all the kids come over, right? Like
watch A Christmas Story on TBS over and over and see the same 5-minute segment every time I tune in.
So all That's your mom's grandkids see. Come over?
Like the Michigan ones will be there. Yeah, so okay. Three
so are
five.
Greg and Bree coming from Iowa or not this
they,
time?
Okay. They only come for one of the two either Thanksgiving or Christmas. Gotcha. So yeah, we'll do our little family get together and it'll be
it's definitely
time.
Like more fun having little kids.
All holidays are more fun having little
Logan
kids.
Is my he's 13, so he's getting to the point where it's not as cute now, and he's our last baby
fun, but yeah,
but Crystal and Dan, I didn't say this on the podcast, my niece Crystal and her husband Dan now are having a baby, so we're gonna have a little one in the family.
The next Christmas,
it's a boy. I don't know if I told you that. Did I tell you that? So he will not be as fun. Probably not quite next Christmas because she's due in June. So he'll be pretty little still.
But he can wear like a little Santa outfit.
Yeah, it'll be fun to dress him up and do all the fun things. But as far as opening presents and things like that, it'll probably be another year before that's really like hitting the cute factor.
He won't have any idea what's going on next year.
Yeah. So we're all excited about that. But
cute.
So good. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. And we're recording our very last episode in person next week. We'll coordinate and schedule that before we quit here tonight.
Yeah, we need to discuss outfits so I know what to pack, obviously. Because there is a dress code for next week's episode.
It's a wedding after all.
Yeah. So I need
a black tie wedding.
Black or white.
Like I said, no polls, but I had two little bits of news. Two birthdays, really. Mm. Eugene Levy turned 78.
I saw.
And Annie Murphy had a birthday while we were gone too.
Okay.
So those
Happy
were the two big
to
news.
Them both.
Also, Dan Levy's movie Good Grief is in my feed everywhere.
Constantly.
It's going to be a hit.
It's made its way to my YouTube feed as well.
I'm kind of scared to watch it. Like, it's going to be emotional. I can tell by everybody's reviews.
But that sometimes
it's good though. Like a good emotional.
It'll be good.
And then I did see one really cute photo that I loved of the whole family, the whole Levy family, Sarah and Eugene and Deb Devine, Dan's mom and Dan, of course, were all there to support him for like a premiere party that they were at. It was so cute. So cute. I'm excited about that. So
yeah. Also, one thing we didn't get to mention last Christmas because we hadn't done the episode yet is if you're looking for good like holiday movies or shows to watch, now we give you permission to watch the season 4 finale episode. Yeah.
The Christmas episode.
Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose, which last year I don't think we had gotten to that point, so we didn't want to like tell you to watch it. But now
that's
I say go ahead and watch it. It's a great
That's a
one.
Good standalone episode too. Like it's a mini movie and you don't really have to
it's
watch
like a Christmas
the show
special.
It's cute. Yeah. So good thinking, Steph. That's it. I'm going to just dive in, I think, to this week's episode. Start Spreading the News is the official title, of course. And our title, Stephanie, is
One Pizza. What is this, Les Mis?
I'm with David on that.
Throwback to all of my cast party and tech party experiences in theater growing
we'll
up.
We'll talk about Les Mis when that comes up. I'm excited. Yes. But I, too, agree. One pizza is not enough for the whole family. Just saying. Or at least pizza and bread. All right. Like bread. Sticks.
Right. And definitely not enough for David, as we'll get to.
Yeah. So let's just start off. We're back at our old standby motel opener. Nice establishing shot of the outdoor of the motel. And into the parents' room we go. Moira's dressed up. She is fancy today. Wearing this ridiculous hat.
It's like tinsel. Like black tinsel.
it looks like tinsel. What it reminds me of is like the little furry cover that you put on a lavalier microphone that clips onto someone on the news.
Kind of.
That's, that's the video person in me. Mm-hmm. So she's wearing this furry little top hat thing and this shiny little getup. And she's on the phone trying to kind of catch up with an old acquaintance to make sure everyone knows, like, FYI, we're moving to New York. We thought it was time. As if they just decided. There was nothing big happening in their life. We just decided, finally. And in the background, you can kind of see Johnny rolling his eyes at her. And he's also pouring mimosas in the midst of all this. And she hangs up and he says, "You're not going out with Bev, are you?" Meaning it probably wasn't the best acquaintance she ever had. And she said, "Oh, oh God, no." But I love this. Bev and her big bazoo will be sure to get the word out. And so Bev, whoever she is not Moira's favorite, but will tell everybody that they're moving to New York. So
she is the whole grapevine.
Of course, Moira's got her priorities straight, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. So Johnny is celebrating and he calls into the kids' room and he says, "Everyone, breakfast is served," and the kids wander in. And complete opposite reactions from the kids. Alexis is very pleased to see mimosas. And David is very displeased to see no food. Mm-hmm. So
how do you feel about those mimosa ratios?
No, they're not good. It's too much orange juice.
It's way too much orange
juice. It's too solid, right? I was going to ask you that. The perfect mimosa, it's less than half and half. It's mostly champagne, dash of orange juice, right?
A splash.
What other flavors do you like? Because you can go to places and get, flights or flavors.
Of mimosas?
I'm a fan. Yeah. Oh, I'm a fan of grapefruit and I'm a fan of pineapple juice. Mm.
I would like pineapple. I'm not a huge grapefruit girl.
No. Okay.
I had a blood orange mimosa, which was good. I mean, it's very close to the original, but.
Right. But still a little twist.
A little fun.
It's fun. Yeah, I've been to a few places that offer flights, but Johnny's basically serving juice.
Yeah.
He's serving orange juice. He's not mixing the ratio very well. I'm surprised Moira didn't help him with that, to be honest.
But did you hear them say that they are using actual champagne, thanks to Ruth? It's
not
no more,
champagne.
No more champagne. Last week was the last time we have champagne on this show.
Yeah. So Ruth sent the bottle of champagne, actual champagne, to kind of seal the deal and say welcome to the team and stuff like that. So he calls them all in and they cheers and he says, we all have something to celebrate. And it's very reminiscent of the happy day Alex and Davis scene where they all had something to celebrate that night too.
Yes.
And, he said he and the kids are all expanding their businesses. Moira, no doubt, will have Broadway calling in no time, or at least a PBS fundraiser that she could be a part of. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I really want them to bust out and start saying, "For we're all jolly good people." But he says, "Let's celebrate. Let's have a toast here. And then maybe we should do something as a family tonight, like cook something." And
absolutely
we know how that goes.
Not.
Absolutely not. In season one, David said this will never be happening again.
Yes.
So no, they're not cooking anything.
No.
So he takes a selfie of the four of them cheersing each other with their mimosas, snaps the photo, and quickly boomers his way into deleting the photo.
I was just impressed he got it in selfie mode, to be honest with you.
He did. And I thought for sure he would have one of the kids take it, but he didn't. He took it and then promptly deleted it. Yeah. So that's our opening scene. I was kind of debating what to do here. And I know we have three distinct storylines, but I think I'm just going to go in chronological order tonight.
Let's do it.
I just really like how the stories all unfold themselves one after the other. So I'm just going to keep it in the order of the show tonight. We're not going to divide it up by show.
For old time's sake. Let's do it.
Yep, for old time's sake. So next we see Johnny and Moira and they step outside to suddenly a sweeter smelling air.
Yeah.
And Johnny says, "Oh, isn't it amazing how good everything smells now that you're leaving?" Mm-hmm. And as they walk away, the shits roll up and beep their horn from a brand new truck. And this is like a Murica truck.
Oh, yeah.
The tires are big. It's black and shiny, big and black and shiny. And Roland is coming out of the lobby and Jocelyn hops out of the truck. And not only did they look to get a new truck, but it looks like Roland also got himself a brand new fancy leather jacket in black this time. Mm-hmm. Are we retiring the brown getup that he wears to every formal event so far, I wonder? And I guess they bought this truck. It's part of their, you know, new look. They're now fancy invested in business people. And Johnny even says, you know, it's a little premature to maybe be spending money. And Roland said, oh, you got to look the part, you know, what's the point of having a regular paycheck if I'm not going to enjoy it? And I'm like, damn, that's a nice truck. And did you get a paycheck yet? The deal just went through.
This is completely counting your poultry early, before it's incubated or putting the carriage in the wake of the mare. Yeah, absolutely.
So Jocelyn hops out, you know, and her, she's got her fresh, she's got a real fresh Jocelyn hairdo to her today. And she says, I went to the spa even, Janine's perhaps, who knows? And she says, Moira, I'm really surprised you weren't there celebrating your new news. And kind of Moira's like, what news is that? And suddenly Jocelyn's like spilling something that she thought Moira already knew. And she said, well, I heard about the Sunrise Bay reboot and it's happening and we're so happy for you. But I can see both of the boys, Johnny and Roland, like realizing Moira does not have a clue. Mm-hmm. And they're both kind of like, well, let's end this conversation. Yeah. And Moira, you know, as far as we know, she like made her demands and they left. And she just assumes, oh, well, I guess they're moving forward without me, basically. But she said, oh, but, you know, she's trying to stay positive. I'll have something in no time and blah, blah, blah. Honestly, who really cares? You're moving to New York at this point. And what else do you really need anyway? Like, you just wanted to get out of here. You'll find something.
Also,
right?
I guess we're getting confirmation of her early assumption last week that they would be setting up headquarters in New York. And apparently, that is 100% the case. So
this is, they're all like, I mean, Moira's just kind of settled on this kind of bad news. Not really bad news, news she didn't know.
Right. And she's like kind of along for the ride, which is fine.
So like she has no real purpose right now. She's like, well,
but she's getting
like
out of
she's
town.
Thinking, what am I going to do? But we are leaving. So there's an upside to it, right?
Yes, exactly.
And as the shits leave, she and Johnny walk away and she even says like, well, I thought they would have at least called to let me know. Mm-hmm. And you could tell she's still fighting the disappointment, and Johnny tries to boost her spirits and just kind of as they walk away says, don't worry, you'll find something in no time. And she says, worry is but undernourished enthusiasm, she says. And I've got to say, Johnny looks a little on edge as they're walking away, and rightfully so, because the last time the shoe dropped like this, she spent a week in a closet.
True.
You know,
and there's a lot of moving parts right now, and he probably can't
focus on that.
The energy for another closet depression.
And honestly, she's been through such a roller coaster this season with her career. She got cut. The Crows movie got cut. She spent a week in the closet. She was writing off Hollywood. Then suddenly she was back in Hollywood. Then Interflix picked everything up. Then they had the premiere. And then Sunrise Bay came. And then they didn't take her demands. And it's like, what a roller coaster of a season for her. And now... Yeah. This kind of seems like the low and maybe the end all of it all, hopefully, right?
True, true.
So that's where that little scene ends as they walk off, presumably to the cafe or wherever they're going for the day. So next we see David walking into the motel lobby, lounge, office, whatever you want to call it, to a very fresh looking Stevie who is cleaning the front desk. Looking really prideful in her work, and she has an updo.
A little high pony and a tucked-in shirt, and suddenly, who is she?
The first time we've ever seen her in a ponytail. I don't even feel like we've seen her in anything but
only when
hair.
She was working at Lariere for a week.
She had the super like tight bun type thing with the little hat, little pillbox hat. Yes. So even David says, something's different. You look like such a businesswoman, but she pulled my personal signature move, Stephanie. I didn't wash my hair, so it's in a ponytail
also
today.
That's just like, I love that line because it is like so many people's default. When you can't take a compliment, you have to like point something out like about yourself.
It's just
your hair looks great. Oh, thanks, I didn't wash it.
I know, I do that.
Like, why can't I just say thank you? We've talked
but
about this
honestly
before.
I do put my hair up a lot when I don't wash it because it just looks like a grease ball. I have bangs for since this is an audio podcast and not a visual podcast.
Just so you know.
People might not know. Like, so if I'm like not washing my hair and I'm still taking a shower in the morning, I have to wash my bangs or they get too greasy looking.
Stringy, yeah.
So like keep the rest of my hair pulled back and just like just shampoo this little tuft in the front. So it works. So yeah, you know, I can get away for a few days like that, mm-hmm, as long as my hair's up. So
yeah.
Anyway, he has come in. David has come in for advice from his BFF.
Yeah.
He says, I need some help. What says, Patrick, you're going to love New York better than some Joe's Pizza gift cards or tickets to Wicked, right?
Tell me about Joe's Pizza.
I don't know about Joe's Pizza. Okay. We were going to talk about this because I think this is the second time the show mentions this. I think they said something about it previously about the real Joe's Pizza is somewhere else, or maybe it's a movie I'm thinking of. Oh no, you know what I'm thinking of Elf, the beginning of Elf. Where Papa Elf is like telling him things about New York. The real Joe's Pizza is on blah, blah, blah. I've watched so many Christmas movies on repeat recently.
Some quick research for you. The original Joe's Pizza is in Greenwich Village. It's considered an institution by Joe Pizzulli, who's originally from Naples, the birthplace of pizza, established in 1975.
Okay. So that's the original pizza, mm-hmm, place. And New York, if you guys aren't familiar, has its very own signature version of pizza. It is a very large, flat, round pie with a super thin crust that gets crispy on the bottom, but you, mm-hmm, can still fold it in half and eat it, yes, like a... It's an amazing. It's one of my... And I'm not saying that because I lived there, but it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's like so easy to eat and you just, yes, squeeze it together and eat all the stuff. And I have to say, shameless plug for my friend who owns a pizza joint, Previti Pizza.
Okay.
In Manhattan. They have several locations, but their flagship location is in the downstairs of... It's either near or in the downstairs of the Chrysler building near 40th and Lexington.
Okay.
Close to Grand Central. Previti Pizza, guys. I'm not just saying this because it's my friend. Like, his pizza place is bomb.
Yeah.
And he worked with me at the post-production place back in like 2009-08 when all the recession shit hit. He got laid off from video work and started a freaking pizza place and is doing amazing.
Wow.
Like, amazing career change. And like to do so well, they now have several locations and all this stuff. So shameless plug for my friend. His name is Kevin. He owns Previti Pizza in Manhattan. So go
amazing.
Check it out. We go there every time. We couldn't go there when I was there with you. We didn't go there.
We did not go.
Because it was a holiday weekend. And
we got pizza from like a bodega or something.
I wasn't sure of the schedule. And he also wasn't going to be there. But we always try to stop in when we're there to say hi to him and see him. So
would you say that New York style pizza is your favorite style of pizza then?
I think so. I definitely do not like Chicago style. Ugh,
okay.
Too much sauce and meat and shit.
I like Chicago style when it's done properly. There's good Chicago style and then there's failures. I also really like Detroit deep dish. I think Detroit pizza is like nostalgic for me because we would go over to my grandma's and we would get Jet's pizza.
Okay. Jet's is good. Like the square deep dish type. Jet's is good. My shameless like... cheap shitty pizza. I know the people on the show will appreciate this because I saw one time they like had a face off of all the cheap pizza joints and ordered it on set. Dan Levy and Annie Murphy and them were arguing. My shameless shitty pizza guilty pleasure is a Hot and Ready from Little Caesars. It's my favorite. 70 with a bag of crazy bread. Holy shit.
Sushat had never had Little Caesars until like within the past year, and then he had like a voucher or something for like a free pizza. And we got it, and it was, I've been exposed to enough good pizza and I hadn't had it in a while, and I was like, oh yeah, this is crap. But I remember stopping like, on the way home from work when I taught in Michigan and like getting a Hot and Ready, and it was whatever.
It's so easy, right? It's $6 and it's always there, and you can get the pizza, the crazy bread and sauce combo for like $10.
If you have good pizza, there's a difference for sure.
But shit can get so expensive so fast when you have this beautiful Little Caesar man.
In Cincinnati, our favorite pizza chain that's local is Dewey's Pizza. They have very good pizza. So,
all right, good to know.
You'll have to try.
We should get some pizza next time we're there.
Yeah.
So, sidetracked by pizza, shocker. Mm-hmm. David is still. We are still on this sad, unstable situation where David is just assuming they're moving to New York. Even though Stevie says, oh, you're going on a trip to New York. No, Stevie, he wants this gift for Patrick to make him love New York and want to live there. And Stevie's a little lost through this whole situation.
Yeah, she didn't know that was the plan.
Yeah. And she's like, who's moving to New York? And he said, well, we all are with you. What did you think? We were going to stay here by ourselves. And Stevie says, I'm not going anywhere, bro. Which is like, how after last week is David not settled down and had this conversation yet? It's like mind boggling.
But also he's not in the business conversations. So Stevie even said like they've sorted it out and they had a conversation and they've all made choices about where they're going to run the business from.
And it all makes sense too. Yeah. Like Johnny's the businessman. He needs to go where, wherever headquarters is, even though I don't really even feel like that's necessary, but whatever.
Yeah.
Roland is obviously staying here. He's still the mayor, for God's sake.
Right.
Like someone can't needs just to
abdicate that job. Yeah.
And then he can't abdicate his throne.
Exactly.
And then she's obviously going to be home based here, but then going to travel around and set up all the new motels, which is perfect.
It's like David, the best solution for what she wanted when she tried to become a flight attendant.
She can get out of here, but also stay here.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, oh, and then suddenly Stevie spills a big secret and says,
lots of spilling the beans in this episode. I guess
you didn't like the house then. What? And David said, I'm sorry, what house? What? And she, this is like classic Johnny Rose here where she can't stop talking. Like, I feel like Johnny Rose has rubbed off on her a little bit because suddenly she's like, well, Patrick was looking at a house for you guys because he drove by it so many times and blah, blah, blah. And then she says, I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Just stop talking, Steve.
And David is in this realization that, holy shit, like, what did I uproot? Like, what plans did I ruin here? So he is gobsmacked.
Yes.
By this news. And she sadly says, Stevie says to him, kind of in a sad tone, like, so you're finally getting out. Like, that's what you always wanted. And he's having this dramatic realization. And he says, I should probably go talk to my husband. I'm so glad he said husband in this moment.
Yes. I like that he's already leaning into that new partnership role.
It's, I mean, he's got to realize that this is a permanent thing. And like now suddenly there's a big wrench. And
after last week, he was swinging so far in one direction where he wasn't thinking about Patrick. Then now he's like refocusing his priorities and attention. Yeah, which is great.
So off he goes to hopefully talk to his husband.
Yes.
So next scene we see is at the cafe. And Alexis tromps in with two huge garbage bags full of stuff. And Twyla says, oh, well, garbage day is the same for everyone on the street. So you didn't need to bring your garbage here because it's not going to get picked up. And no, it's not garbage, Twyla. She's downsizing, as one should do when they're moving into a shoebox apartment in New York. And getting rid of some stuff, consigning some clothing, if you will. And she thought Twyla would like to pick through it, which is always nice if you have a friend the same size to get some nice clothing. Before it goes to Goodwill, we are always constantly trading, not so much clothing, because
you said you and your sisters trade handbags.
Yeah. And I was going to say too, my friend Anne, who you know also is like, oh, do you want this purse? Do you want this accessory? This, this, and this. And it's like a nice little like, oh, if you're just going to give it away, sure. It's like a new life for this, if you will.
I'm assuming you with older sisters, even though they are much older, did you have hand-me-downs or by then did they not hold on to their stuff?
They didn't because I was so much older. Younger. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like 10 years between me and my sister. So for them to have hung on to baby clothes and small children's clothes, that was quite a while.
Right.
So no,
I definitely got hand-me-downs from my cousin Jenny, even though she was like 11 years older than me.
Okay.
At a certain age, I started getting hand-me-downs. But when I was a little kid, there was nobody to hand out to me.
I'm sure it's one of the reasons my sisters are mad at me because I got all new shit.
All new stuff. They had to share.
All new stuff, right?
Yeah.
So no hand-me-downs, but it is nice to exchange things now in adulthood when I have to buy my own crap.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
Twyla says, well, I can't take your stuff. Like, maybe we can do a swap or I can buy a few things for you. And Alexis says, no, I can't take your money. You're a waitress, for crying out loud. Which is like, okay, well, she probably makes decent tips. Waitresses do.
But not from the Roses.
Not in Schitt's Creek. Not the Roses and probably not the Schitt's. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Alexis just assumes, like, you're poor. You're a waitress. So,
trying to be generous.
Yeah, yeah. She said, no, like, you can just have this stuff. And This scene, Stephanie.
This is the like most jaw-dropping thing of the whole scene.
We are treated to like, one of the most exciting hell. surprising revelations in television history now.
Yes.
Like this just blew my mind when it happened, and it still does. Twyla leans in really close to Alexis and she says, you know, I don't really do this job for the money.
Alexis is looking says,
well, I'm afraid to know what you do for money. And she doesn't mean that. She just means, I just do it because I'm enjoying it, you know?
Yeah.
And she says, now that you're leaving, can you keep a secret? And Alexis is the last person I would trust with a secret. But
well, she even says, like, maybe, depends.
Depends on how spicy it is.
Yeah.
So Twyla leans in and says, I actually won the lottery some time ago. And I just like didn't tell you. And Alexis thinks like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. Good for you. Go you. Thinking she won like $1,000 off a scratch-off ticket or something.
Yeah.
And she said, well, why didn't you tell me? And Twyla then drops the bomb that she says, well, I felt bad because you just lost all your money. What was I supposed to say? I just won $92 million.
Million. Oh, my gosh. Twyla.
And
she's Alexis been sitting on this secret for six seasons.
Holy hell, like she's been sitting on this. Alexis's jaw drops and says, you won $92 million. And Twyla says, no. And Alexis goes, good, because I was about to pass out. I split it with another guy. And Alexis cannot like do the math.
She cannot compute.
She won so much money then, which is $46 million, which after taxes probably went down to about 25, honestly. But
still.
But so much money. Twyla.
Honestly, we already knew Twyla was like the sweetest person on earth. And then to know this fact about her makes her like
a saint.
She's like an alien. Like, who is that nice?
Nobody.
And like,
I'll tell you one thing. If I won $1 million, I wouldn't be working my goddamn waitressing job.
No.
Like, if I won 92 or 46, I wouldn't be working in Schitt's
Creek. But she literally loves it that much. That's what she's saying.
She, there's also talk in the groups on Facebook and stuff that people get the impression, I don't know why people think this, that she split it with Mutt, that Mutt was the other guy. But there's no indication of that whatsoever.
No way. No.
And I'm like, why? This is another one of those. Why do you think this? Are you an idiot? Sorry.
If he had that much money, he could have gotten himself out of community service, probably.
Yeah. So it's just like some rando, you know, in another state that also is on the Powerball with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I figured.
Also, in regards to these Powerball jackpots, you know, they only get up to blah, blah, blah billion every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So this means that somebody's winning them at like $5 and $10 million.
Yes.
Like, why can't I just be one of those smaller?
Yeah, I'll take $5 million.
Like a weekly winner of $1 million. I don't need this $4.1 billion. That's way too much. But where are these millionaires and why am I not one of them?
That used to be my strategy. I rarely buy lotto tickets, but the few times I have, like, that would be my strategy after a really big winner. And then it resets. I'm like, yeah. Well, this is when like nobody's paying attention.
I'll take $100,000.
Yeah.
Twyla won 92/46 when she split it with another guy. And Alexa says, what the fuck are you doing here? Basically, she said, you could be anywhere doing anything you want. And Twyla just basically says, you know, this is what I want. This makes me happy. She loves getting to help people and be a part of her community and hear people's stories. So I just, Twyla's not a real person at this point, right? Right. But she and Alexis just have this perfect best friend moment in this scene. And Alexis comes in with some advice I really like, because she's been on both ends of the spectrum now. She has been filthy rich, a family that's filthy rich. And she's also been dirt poor in this whole scenario.
I love how she explains her current situation though as still pretty poor but somewhat okay.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
But she says, like, every now and then, you know, you should treat yourself. Like, it might not buy happiness, but it could make you smile, right?
Yeah.
And then,
like, that advice a lot.
Yeah. And the best throwback to the very first episode ever, Twyla pulls out the dress on top. Mm-hmm. This dress makes me smile. And it is the pink dress that we very first saw Alexis in episode 1. So
yes,
Love that throwback. It's just really cute. So they're going to do a little swap. Alexis knows her little secret now. So we'll see kind of where that takes us.
Yes. But
ready for a quick break. I figure, just looking at my notes, we're probably halfway through. So let's take a break and we'll come back and see where everyone else is.
All right. Sounds good.
This week's very special sponsor is none other than Twyla's Cafe Tropical, the town's tastiest and exclusive eatery. Newly rebranded with an exciting and ever-changing menu rotation, you're sure to taste something memorable each time you pop in. Whether you're in the mood for a post-run jambalaya smoothie, an anniversary dinner that is fresh, never frozen, or simply looking for a quick and tasty lunch, their expansive array of delectable delights will have you coming back time and again. So the next time you're feeling those hunger pains, fast forward past the greasy chains and those cookie-cutter diners, and transport yourself to the exotic flavors of Twyla's Cafe Tropical. You'll come for the food, but you'll stay for the service. Mention this podcast for a complimentary raisin in your bottomless champagne at your next Tropical brunch. Thanks again to Twyla's Cafe Tropical. For the smiles, always have free refills.
All right, we are back. Thank you to Twyla's Cafe Tropical.
Thank you, Twyla.
I love the new ownership, love the new logos. Mm-hmm. I also love the new menu. The miso black cod is to die for.
Finally, Stephanie, on the menu, yes.
I don't know if Twyla hired a new chef or what, but she got some good shit on that menu.
Mm-hmm. She can afford to hire a new chef.
She kept her classic freezer burr mozzarella sticks too. I like that you don't stray away from your original.
Metal Harvest smoothie is still on. Yeah, that can't go anywhere.
Is whatever it is.
Yes.
For whatever that week.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you again to Twyla's Cafe Tropical. Not Twyla's right off Cafe. Yeah. Not Twyla's Cafe. So. All right, let's get back into here.
All right.
Back in the motel room, we're back with Johnny and Moira again. And Moira is kind of talking to Johnny as he answers the door and accepts the package. And she says, you know, I think her wheels have been spinning. And I think she realizes, yeah, they're going to New York, but I'm not going to have anything to do. So she
even like offers to help with the business. Says,
is there something
surprising
you could put me to work as doing? And Johnny said, oh, well, I didn't know you were interested. About as interested as she was in cleaning that other motel room, right? Well, maybe something in a more supervisory position.
Yeah.
Or manning the front desk at this motel when she had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she's interested. She says, well, I'm going to have a lot of free time on my hands. And Johnny kind of reminisces about when she was the spokesperson for Rose Video. And she brings up who can forget me sunbathing on that large VHS cassette. VHS tape. It took over Times Square for a while, that ad.
Yeah.
Right? So Johnny sees this package is for Moira and he hands it off to her and she says, oh, it's from Tippy. Still not expecting anything.
Mm-hmm.
It says with a card that reads, Dear Moira, you win. Welcome back to the Bay.
What?
And inside is the freaking tennis bracelet. They met her demands. This is his way of saying, you're in, Moira.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 seconds later, her phone rings. It's like he had this delivery timed and knew exactly when she was going to receive it. And it's Tickle Bernstein on the phone. And he tells her the news. And yeah, they did move on without someone. They moved on without Clifton motherfucking Sparks.
Yes, she had the star power they wanted.
In the end, she was the bigger name.
Yep.
And she said, yes, a loud can... Crankerous, cantankerous, vociferous, yes. And this to me is actually one of the saddest moments to me in the show. I do not want Moira to go back to Sunrise Bay. And we've talked about this extensively over the last few episodes. This feels like such a step backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying yes and go, first of all, reboots fucking suck. We've already talked about that.
Yep.
But she's going back to her old ways and this old life that has done nothing but build her up and tear her down over and over and over again. And I can't imagine the inevitable disappointment this is going to bring eventually, you know?
Yeah.
It just feels like such a... This is more disappointing to me, Stephanie, than Alexis and Ted not working out.
Yeah.
This is higher on that list than that for me.
I think them not working out was a result of their growth separately. Yeah. This feels like a backslide. And yeah, it's like it feels like a weird, like a not a cop out, but like a psych out kind of.
Yeah.
You know,
I hate to like say anything negative, especially at this point in the game when we're like praising these last two episodes, et cetera. But it just was so disappointing.
I think this also would disqualify, as much as I love things about this episode, this element would disqualify it for me as a Simply the Best. Yeah. Because
it's not character growth, it's character devolution. Right?
Like opposite of evolution. Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you, I had high hopes for Moira at the very beginning of the season because of the cabaret success. I thought she is going to get involved in community theater and make something big out of this situation that she has been presented with. Yes. And that's going to be her path. Mm-hmm. No, she goes right back to her old ways.
Yeah.
So disappointing for me. In her defense, people will say truly, and this is the only way to look at it, of the four members of the family, she has always been the most vocal about staying on course, and their goal was always to get out of this town.
So,
and she never veered from that.
So she was true to herself the whole time,
yes.
I guess.
So I guess that's one way to look at it.
Okay.
So anyway, Johnny, of course, is her hype man and is very excited, and he's cheersing her and excited for her. And Alexis hears the, you know, commotion in the other room, and she runs in and says, "What is all this screaming about?" And Moira says, "They've accepted my demands." Mm-hmm. And Alexis says, "Even the bracelet?" And Moira hands over the box, and there it is. And Alexis says, "And you're giving it to me?" No, she's not. Okay. This is another weird thing of mine, and I think we've talked about this before. This, to me, is a sign of growth for Alexis.
She wants a diamond tennis bracelet.
When it was a Sweet 16 gift, it was a joke.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants a diamond tennis bracelet. Mm-hmm. But now she's a grown-up and thinks it's a great gift.
That's a very small Easter egg as far as her evolution.
I just thought like that, oh, wow, she's really grown up. She likes tennis bracelets now. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to remember the first tennis bracelet reference is all. Mm-hmm. So next thing you know, Johnny is working out logistics and he's like, you know, I don't know how we'll do it, but we'll figure it out. Right.
The ever supporting husband. Like,
while he's
skyrocketing to new success, as soon as Moira gets, you know, something, he is willing to pivot.
Yeah.
To do whatever it takes
and
to make it work.
Considering where he thought he was earlier in the day, that he was going to have to wrangle her out of the throes of depression here. Mm-hmm.
This is a much more appealing scenario.
He's relieved. Yeah. He's like, oh, shit. Thank God. Right.
Yeah.
So next thing we know, David has headed over to Patrick's and we see his apartment from the outside, and he walks in and Patrick is sitting at his little desk, and he says, "Oh, what are you doing?" And Patrick says, "Oh, I'm working on my vows." Of course, David says, "Well, if you need any flattering things to say about me, I'm happy to help." Patrick says, "I'm good, you know."
Yeah.
So if you're writing your own vows for your wedding?
Will be. Have not yet started.
You will be, right? Okay.
Yes.
So I got married in a Catholic church, very traditional. Did not have any, there's no room for that.
No room
shit
for
in the
vows.
Catholic church. Yeah, okay. You say the vows, but you just repeat them after the priest, and that's whatever. Definitely, I feel like more stressful to write your own vows, but also obviously more personal. Crystals and Dan's were very cute. A lot of weddings we've been to. It's just, you can throw in humor and sappiness and seriousness, and it's so much better than the general I do.
So one thing I already know I want to do, I don't know if I've told you this, is we will be separately, we're not going to share our vows with each other, but we will be submitting them to you.
Oh, good.
Prior, because I kind of want you to help make sure that the vows seem balanced.
Right. I hear you.
Length and tone.
I need to be a neutral party to kind of fine tune.
So I think when we decide to like start writing them, we'll set goals or like things that we want our vows to do. But like, I've seen these videos on YouTube where like the woman is giving these like really heartfelt vows, and then the guy's husband is just like, "I love you and that giant ass baby," and that's all he's got to say about that. And they're like, "That's it. That's all you got to say."
But also, Sushant's, you guys are not like that. I think you'll be pretty balanced anyway, but it is a good idea.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I like to ramble, as you know, by this podcast. He's a little more short and sweet. And so I just want to make sure that I'm not like saying a novel
or overdoing it,
doing a haiku.
The other thing too is like, I will like that helps me with my content a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, I already have like a general theme in mind as of last week. Mm-hmm. But that will help me like guide things, if you will. Yeah,
definitely.
Cool. Well, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have to do that though. I don't think that Joe would have been very interested in writing those either. So it all worked out that we were doing the like stereotypical whatever.
Sure.
David sits down on the edge of the bed and just blurts out what he knows, mm-hmm. which is, why didn't you tell me about the house?
Yeah.
Because that's the elephant in the room and we need to just get it over with, right? So Patrick kind of looks away and he just says, you know, it's clear, first of all, that this happened well before the New York plans. Like, this is something Patrick has been working on for a minute, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, you know...
So the news last week was literally steamrolling him in so many ways, including these
plans.
And
it basically shut this down, like, completely. Mm-hmm. He said, I just... You know, you were so excited about New York, and I didn't want to let you down, basically. And David said, is that house even for sale? And Patrick said, no, it wasn't. I just, after driving by it 75 times and you mentioning how it looks like the cottage from The Holiday, one of my favorite holiday movies, by the way.
Yes, and one of the cutest houses ever.
So good. I just went up to the door and I asked. And I said, if you're ever looking to sell, can you just like keep me in mind? Well, lo and behold, these people were empty nesters and were planning on moving to Florida, and Patrick was in seemingly the right place at the right time until this New York shit hit, right? Mm-hmm. And Patrick, being the over-the-top good husband that he is, just didn't want to ruin David's dreams, basically, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
They start talking a little bit about it in New York, and Patrick says, you know, it just seems really hard picturing yourself living somewhere you've never been. Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. And he said, also, I thought you didn't like New York. And this all makes sense because while we've never really talked specifically about it, we know that David had shitty friends who used him for money and stood mm-hmm. him up and did all this, you know, like,
remember
just
how
never
angry
had real
and uptight
friends.
He was in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But David defends New York. He said, I love New York. It's just a weird time in my life. And it's like he wanted this second chance of it and thought he was about to get it. But
yes.
In a very grown-up moment for David, he says to Patrick, I don't want you moving somewhere you're not excited about. Mm-hmm. But Patrick, still conceding, says he just wants to live where David is. Doesn't matter where it is. I can live anywhere. Mm-hmm. Patrick, you are too good to him. Yes. He does not deserve you. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't want you guys to break up. But like, stop being so nice, right?
Yeah.
And of course, in true Patrick style, look at the bright side. It'll be great to grow our business. I'll get to go to a Yankees game, which we know he loves baseball. Mm-hmm. Obviously not a Mets fan. Okay, whatever. I lived in Queens, but David says, yeah, and you'll certainly find friends you can go
meet
to.
Meet somebody who will do that with you.
Come on, David. You're like us. You got to like the beer and the food at least. Who cares about
the
baseball?
I mean, he played that one game and he got to have a hot dog afterwards, so... Plenty of
There's
dogs.
Fun to be had at a baseball game, even if you don't like baseball,
and
especially
food to be
a
had.
Yankees game, right? Yeah. So I'm like, Patrick, no, you're giving up too much here. Mm-hmm. And he says something that like kind of puts a nail through David's heart at the end of this scene. He looks around and he said, it's going to be a tough goodbye. This is where we started our life together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. It is a very tough goodbye. I have had some sad goodbyes. What sad goodbyes have you had in your life in terms of moving, Stephanie? I got overly emotional when you left for Cincinnati, but we were also drinking a lot of wine that night.
Sad goodbyes? I don't know. I've always been excited by the moves that I've made for the most part. The hardest thing for me moving here, so my nieces were both very young, and I had told my oldest niece just days before the move, because we didn't want her to dwell on it too long.
Right.
She was very sad, and that was very hard. We had a little cry moment. And then my other niece, for reasons I could respect, but it was hard. They didn't want me telling her I was moving at all. And that was super hard for me because I just, in her eyes, left. And then she had to learn why. But I think just leaving family was hard this last time. But I remember talking to Nora, my older niece, after Sushat and I started dating, and she asked me, like, are you ever going to move back to Michigan? And I said, I don't think so. I said, I really like my job here, and Sushat is here, but I do miss you. And she said, so yeah. It's kind of good and kind of bad, isn't it? I said, yeah, yeah. It's kind of good.
That's the hard part about living away from home.
Yeah.
The cool thing is she'll have somewhere cool to visit and a cool aunt and uncle to come visit in Cincinnati.
Honestly,
all the time.
Yes.
Like, that's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's a good distance away where you could have a week with her and
yeah,
it feels exotic to her and like a vacation. You know what I mean?
Tropical,
like,
Cincinnati.
It's not just like she went somewhere that's an hour away and yeah, she's spending the night. Yeah, like she could have a fun trip.
The weather's different a little bit. Yeah.
It was hard leaving New York. I was done with New York, but leaving our friends in our apartment mm-hmm. was like a hard thing for yeah. us. I thought it would be hard leaving our first house when we moved to this house because mm-hmm. that was like our first home or whatever. But it really was, like we outgrew it and this new location, everything was so good. That was more of an exciting
thing. You were more focused
thing.
On the
yeah,
next
yeah,
chapter.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So, it's fun, but sad, but interesting moving like that. Mm-hmm. If you've never done it, like across yeah. to a new place, like across the country or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
and it would be really hard for Patrick to move somewhere that he's not passionate about or familiar with at all.
Well, not only that, somewhere that's such a complete 180 from mm-hmm. where they live now.
Yeah.
Like from New York City to Schitt's Creek. Like I remember when we decided to move back to Michigan, like I was not moving to Bad Axe because we had been living in New York.
Yeah.
Like I needed to be near a city. Mm-hmm. Whereas vice versa, Patrick probably would be more comfortable living in a small town mm-hmm. than New York City. Give me a break.
Yeah.
So anyway, they kind of had that little discussion and David is like looking around the apartment and he's like, yeah, it does kind of suck. Like he's realizing it, right? Mm-hmm. So next we are over at Town Hall and the Jazzy Girls are getting ready to rehearse and Jocelyn is trying to cover up from her previous mishap and she has wrangled New York shirts for everyone, trying to get everyone excited for Moira to go to New York. Even though the Sunrise Bay thing isn't happening, we should just really hype her up for going mm-hmm. to New York. You're going to love it there, right?
Yeah.
And Moira comes in. And they're all shit talking, like Ronnie especially is like, fuck those bitches. They don't need you. Like talking about Sunrise Bay and Twyla yeah. says how much a reboot sucks. Yeah. And they're all basically inserting foot in mouth because they don't know that Moira now knows mm-hmm. she is a part of the Sunrise Bay reboot. So mm-hmm. oops.
And she's even like, as they're going off on Sunrise Bay, she's making this face of like, well, actually.
Right. Don't say too much. But she said something so nice and true. She said, well, aren't you a wolf pack by which any gal would be lucky to be protected? Mm-hmm. And it's true. These women have really stood by her side and she's made some true friends in this group.
Yes.
But now it's Moira's turn to break the news. Mm-hmm. Turns out she is going back to the Bay.
Yes.
And suddenly everyone is like, oh, well, who doesn't love a reboot? And trying to backtrack what they just said.
But that
said.
Just shows that they will support her no matter what.
Yes, just like Johnny, basically. Mm-hmm. She's got her hype crew, right? But here's the thing. Like, since she has to start shooting in 2 weeks, this is going to be her last rehearsal. And that catches our three main Jazzy Girls completely off course mm-hmm. here. Twyla, Jocelyn, and Ronnie are all so emotional at this news. Yes.
Also, Jocelyn, did you see who has made a reemergence in the background of this
is
scene?
Gwen there?
Gwen is there.
I was
sitting in the background.
Okay.
Shady Gwen. Okay,
she
Gwen, we see you.
Was she as shocked and sad as the other three? I have to keep an eye out now.
Yeah, she just had a big smile on her face because she's loving her life right now.
She's loving her cousins or whatever she's doing. So, but Twyla and Jocelyn and Ronnie, even Jocelyn says, you know, I guess I wasn't as ready for this news as I expected mm-hmm. I was. And yeah. I don't know, for Jocelyn, she's kind of on the in anyway. Like she knew they were thinking of going to New York and maybe she thought she'd see Moira more mm-hmm. because she's in
They're still in the business.
Yeah. But Ronnie, of all people, is so emotional about mm-hmm. this. And she just says, I just don't like surprises.
Yeah.
And in beating the metaphor to death, Moira gives them a little compliment. She says, wolf pups are born blind and deaf, but I have learned to see and hear from you guys, basically, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But no hugs, but maybe just a quick one.
Maybe just a quick hug. Even
Ronnie
is getting
it. She doesn't want any
this.
Hallmark movie moments, but she'll take a quick hug. So
yes.
Later on at the motel, Alexis is in her room packing her stuff and a knock at the door comes and Twyla comes in, presumably in one of Alexis's dresses because she's very dressed up. Mm-hmm. And she said, I wanted to thank you for your advice on like spending some money on myself a little mm-hmm. bit, really, and something special. And She says, I bought the cafe. That's quite a big spend.
Yeah.
Right? But the cafe is her place. Mm-hmm. And like she said, she loves hearing people's stories and like interacting with her community. And that's what makes her happy. So that's what she did. She called the owners and said, name your price.
And knowing Twyla's backstory from all of her crazy family's tales.
Yeah.
Like, I think she probably appreciates the stability of the cafe.
Oh, for sure.
Because her life seems like it was so tumultuous.
Exactly. And I can't remember what she said, if she said it in this scene or the scene before in the cafe where she said, if my mom's spending of her money taught you anything, it's you can only buy so many snowmobiles, but you can't buy happiness. But it's like, this is like something that makes her happy. I mean, now she's her own boss. So that's good. Right. Mm-hmm. And can really bring a vision for this place to life if she has it. And so then she also has an envelope in her hand and she hands this over to Alexis and it's money. It's a check.
A big
and
one.
And she said, we don't know how big. Yet another
based
check.
Based on Alexis's face.
Yeah, it's big. And she said, it's for your dresses. Like, it's for all your dresses. And Alexis says, even these designer dresses in retail wouldn't take this much. Mm-hmm. And Twyla said, well, consider it like a goodbye gift and, you know, maybe something to help you get started on your new life. So with that statement, we know it's got to be a little something big.
Yes.
Like $1 million?
No.
Six figures?
I think maybe, I would guess between like $50,000 and $100,000.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
That's my guess.
Yeah. I'd be curious to know what other people think it is.
I think bigger, we do need to do polls this week because there's a lot of bigger, hot button issues.
Bigger than the check Aunt Dee Dee wrote. That's for sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
The other check we never got to see.
Yep.
So,
well, and there was Wendy's check. There were three checks.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
No, we do know that one, though. $40,000.
Was it 40? Okay.
I think it was 40, but we did find out the amount of that one. Because Alexis like shouts it out in the room.
Yeah.
$40,000? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was 40. In one of the biggest grown-up moves of her life, Alexis says, I can't take this. I want to get out on my own and I want to do it right. And I think I just can't, accept this. This scene is so emotional for me. I am like getting all warm and fuzzy just talking about it. But like,
this is to me where Alexis's journey is complete on the show.
It's a peak, right?
Because from where she started, and I think it's a great throwback to see that dress where she started too in this episode, to have this moment where she has an opportunity to like have a real safety
net.
So
good.
And she wants to believe in herself enough that she can do it on her own.
I said this from the beginning. She grows the most of anybody in this show, for sure. So she does say on her way out, well, I don't want to tell you how to spend your money. This is like also something that really gets me all teary-eyed because like this just shows their friendship. Yeah. I don't want to tell you how to spend your money, but maybe you could like use some of it to come and see me sometimes.
Yeah.
And Twyla says, absolutely. And on her way out, she gives Twyla one last little boop on the nose. I just booped your nose, Stephanie. And she says, oh, my God, by the way, Twy, cute dress. And she said, thanks. A friend gave it to me.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Oh. They are besties.
Okay. So that ends. They really are besties. So cute. Yeah. And Twyla has been like such a fairy godmother to her this entire series.
Yeah.
Next, we see David and Stevie in another yet emotional scene for the night.
So emotional.
They're sitting on the hood of her car, staring at the house, the cottage house from the holiday that David wants.
And it lives up to the description.
It does,
definitely
does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And David said, Stevie said, what are we doing here? And he said, I don't know. I just wanted to get a look at this house that Patrick said we should spend the rest of our lives in. And she says, and he says, well, it's way too small for the rest of our lives, but a good starter house, right? And it's cute. And she says, I've known you for a few years now and I still don't understand what's going on in your head. And that
the waterworks
David over the edge. And he said, yeah, you and me both. And she's like, oh my God, it was a joke. And he starts crying and
he's really going through some emotions.
He is really going through it. Yeah.
To navigate what he should do.
He just says, I'm just trying to think of like what kind of a person walks up to someone in their front door and says, will you sell this house to me? Because my fiance really likes it, basically.
Right.
And Stevie says, like, good people do that. And mm-hmm. you have a good person is what yes. she's saying. Like, mm-hmm. you need to realize that right now.
Yeah.
And they're too sarcastic of people to be that good anyway. It's mm-hmm. like, she's like, that's why we don't understand it. But
yeah,
opposites attract. And mm-hmm. David got one of those people, right?
Yeah.
And she says what she's kind of been mulling over, I'm sure, for a while now. What is it about New York? Why do you want to go somewhere that's treated you like such garbage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has big dreams and he feels like he has to go back and prove something to someone. But who? Like, yeah. And she said, who? The friends that you invited to the wedding? Because they're not coming. Like, they're not your friends and they never were, which mm-hmm. is sad for David to realize.
Yeah.
But he wants to go back to prove them wrong, to prove to them
so that he's won. So it's not for him, it's for other people.
Yeah. And she says, well, I was thinking the first time I ever watched a show, I thought, you've won, David. Give me a break. Mm-hmm. Look at this place and the situation you're in. You mm-hmm. have won. Seth, yes. I relate to this so fucking hard. Having lived in New York, like, it was really sad to leave. And it kind of sucked because it was like, oh, I'm living in New York. That's a really cool thing to be able to say. And to come home and move back to Michigan, looking at my puddle of three cats on the couch, my two car garage home that's cheaper than my apartment, my pool in the backyard, like yeah. I've won and I'm very much happier.
Yeah.
But it was like crazy.
But stereotypically or on paper, people think right. like, that has
you're
to
only
be
your
everyone's top dream. Like,
yep.
And then to pivot from that or to not get that is somehow yeah. worse.
And this is, yeah, this is such a good, like, someone needed to fucking tell David this right to his face. Like, you've got it. Like, stop looking mm-hmm. for something you don't have or need yeah. for that matter.
Yeah.
And they sit there for a second and she says, you know, those people, basically those people are not your friends. I'm your friend. Patrick is your husband. Like, your life is here. You have everything you need here. And on a personal note, like, I don't want you to leave. You're my
this
best friend. And where
just,
are
like,
you going?
I was like full on crying rewatching yeah. this today.
And they just kind of hug each other and sit on each other and cry on each other's shoulder for a moment. And then David says, are you wearing deodorant today? Like, break the ice, David. Break the yeah. tension. So
I also want to make a little note about this particular location. So when we went to Canada over the summer, this was one of the locations on my list. It is top secret. And I was super annoyed because there is a person out there who had a blog.
Who knows, but won't say.
Who knows, but wouldn't say. And posted photos when he went to all the locations in front of this house. And this is one of the few that, like, does not have a publicly known address. Mm-hmm. And not that we were going to be stalkers or creepers. Like, we knew we didn't want to be intrusive, but, like,
right.
I would love to see this house.
Just to see it. Just to drive by.
Also, you'll notice, and in this last line about the deodorant, and Stevie's like, it's the farm. It is right across the street from a farm. And that had me wondering, like, what if that was the Amish family farm where David tried to run off to
yeah.
and now he's going to live right across the street from a farm? David?
Yikes.
Amazing.
He's going to have to get a car, though. It's too hard to share a car when you live in the middle of nowhere, right?
Oh, yeah. But they also work together. Like, they could work it out.
True. Very true. So anyway, he just needed to get a look at this house. Like, he just needed to kind of mm-hmm. mull over this and see it in person. And anyway, she punches him and they slide off the hood and they leave. She's like, we're leaving. Get in the car, you jerk. I have deodorant on. So we're treated to kind of two closing scenes, really, in this mm-hmm. episode. So the first is back at the motel and they're having their family dinner that Johnny wanted earlier in the day and mm-hmm. calls the kids in and pizza's here. And David said, one pizza? What is this, lame is? Moira says some line about, yeah, we're having a distinguished meal, not some like all you can eat smorgasbord. And he quickly takes three pieces.
In a family of four, everyone gets two slices.
Gets
that
two.
Is
it's
the
eight,
unspoken
right?
rule.
Yeah. But Alexis is probably only going to eat one. Let's
well,
be
they
real.
Kind of make a face at each other. Like, maybe that's their tradition is David.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Les Mis, I have never seen it, but it is at DeVos this winter. Should I go, Stephanie?
You should absolutely go.
Okay. I'm glad this comes up. We keep seeing commercials for it, and I keep telling Joe, oh, should we buy tickets? Mm-hmm. So the general premise is, like, families living in poverty in France in the 1800s or some shit. I don't know.
Well, it's on, like, the brink of the French Revolution.
Mm. Okay.
But it spans many years. It follows Jean Valjean, and it also explores like the principles of like good and evil and like redemption and people who are maybe too like overly devout and how they lose sort of their morality in that way.
Okay.
It's very complex and very good music. I love Les Mis.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to, I don't know if Joe's really interested in it. I might have to find somebody to go with me, but
okay.
It is playing this winter and it was on my short list to go see anyway, but I don't know.
I've been singing Les Mis all evening after watching this episode just because okay. It's so.
All right. All right. It. So maybe we'll it. Go. So, yeah. So they have their Les Mis pizza. They all get their plates and Johnny's like, oh, what should we do tonight? We should do some charades, a family game night of charades. And Moira says, ha, you can't afford me. She just loves that she has an acting gig now.
She's union again.
And it turns out, I don't know if David knew this news. Alexis kind of knew the news, but didn't know the logistics, but they figured it out and they're going to California and Johnny can work from there, which makes sense. You can really work from anywhere as 2020 has taught us. Yeah. And it looks like just the kids are going to New York on their own, Alexis says. And David kind of flips the script with big news here.
This is when you realize his decision is
so serious, in fact, that he puts the pizza down.
Whoa.
And as soon as he says, I have some news, Moira says, oh, God, the wedding's off. No, the wedding's not off.
Moira.
Why would the wedding be off? He says, Patrick found us a house. And Alexis is not cluing in, but she says, I don't know how we could afford a house in New York. True story. We can't even afford an apartment in New York. Mm-hmm. We've already figured that out.
Yeah.
He said, no, it's here and we're going to stay. And this is kind of shocking news for Alexis.
Everybody.
Who was making her life plans around David and Patrick.
Yeah. Suddenly everyone has jumped ship.
And I love what Moira says. Are you sure you've given this sentencing adequate deliberation? As if staying here is the worst thing forever. But he says, like, my business is here. My husband is here. My life is here. I don't want to mess this up. And it really throws a wrench into Alexis's plans. But she says, you know what?
Well, I think Johnny
assumes.
So you're going
like,
to come with us then to California?
She says, you know what? I think I'm going to go to New York. I did it once and I did it. I can do it again. And she did. She did so much stuff by herself.
Yeah.
In a completely different headspace. And now she's more ready than ever to go, right? And
so Moira this is says, the second time that she has turned down a lifeline because she really wants to.
Yeah, because she could have gone with mom and dad too.
Her way.
Mm-hmm. But Moira says, take that ember and keep it burning because you're destined to be on fire.
This girl is on fire.
I'm glad you thought the same thing I did because I was like ready to belt out. Oh, thank you, Alicia Keys. And Johnny, I just love Johnny too. Like basically says, I can sleep happy and peacefully knowing my whole family is going to be okay. Such a good like ending scene here.
Yeah.
And then Moira perks up and says, oh, well, I'm leaving on the 3rd. And David says, that's my wedding day. And she said, are we tied to the 3rd?
Yes.
As if the invitations, because this is 2 weeks away, mind you, now we know she has to start filming in 2 weeks. So as if the invitations haven't been set out and plans haven't been made. Yes, we're tied to the 3rd. You can leave the following morning.
Yeah.
So for the last scene, David and Patrick are driving up in the countryside and David has driven Patrick out with a blindfold on and pulls him out of the car for a surprise. And he says, okay, you can take the blindfold off. And they are standing in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick says, I've seen this house. What's the surprise? And David said, well, I put an offer in on it and they accepted. Holy shit. What? And he says, I don't want to be anywhere you don't want to be. Mm-hmm. And they just have this moment. And Patrick says, I'm going to make you so happy here. And David says, you fucking better. And Patrick also says, like, wait a minute. When you said you put an offer in, like, what did you do?
And Dave is even like, I honestly don't know what I did.
Yeah. You need to talk to the people, right?
Yeah.
Right? So, because clearly we know he's the businessman of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Patrick needs to go over all that fine print.
Yes.
David's look on his face is just so proud and pleased with himself. I'm so happy about this whole scene. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, Patrick says, well, who needs a wedding at this point? And David said, I do.
I do.
I definitely do. And he deserves it at this point.
Yes.
He deserves all the pomp and circumstance. Mm-hmm.
I think the conversation he said he had with Stevie and then really thinking about this future, this option with Patrick in this house and in staying in this town, like he finally cut those, like, those ties and what was weighing him down with this idea of going back to New York and proving himself to people who don't even care about him.
Yeah.
And now he can like fully let that go. He and just lean like into needed
someone
future.
To just tell him straight point blank, like they're assholes, like get over it.
And now he wants to move like full speed ahead with Patrick into this dream cottage that is just so adorable.
They're going to have a very happy life here. I'm sure. They are. I wonder how far out of town this house is.
Yeah, it's on a country road, but it does have like a nice big yard. They'll have to, like, who's going to mow that lawn? I want to know.
They're going to get well, Patrick is clearly mowing the lawn. Come on. Like, he's doing all the man.
Maybe Ray Boutani has a lawn mowing
service. He probably does. He's got a little bit of everything, doesn't he? So, so that's the episode. What a great, great penultimate episode.
Oh, I looked up the word penultimate, the origin.
Yeah, I mean the etymology.
I think it had Greek origins, but pen basically translates to almost. So it's the almost last.
So it wasn't like the writing portion of it that I was thinking.
No.
Mm-mm. I was thinking pen, like ink pen.
Does not erase.
Okay. So no. Almost ultimate.
Almost last.
Sense. Got you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for looking that up for me, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
One singular trivia question for you.
Okay.
How many diamonds were on the tennis bracelet?
30.
You bitch.
Well, I remember like trying to envision.
No, there are 30 diamonds on that thing.
I was like, okay, how long is a bracelet? I'm trying, because we don't actually see
how
the
big
bracelet.
Are these
we
diamonds?
The box. Yeah. Yeah. I was curious. 30
All right.
Diamonds.
You got that way too easily. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I had for you. Stephanie, what are we doing for the last time in person? What are we doing next week?
Next week, it's the happy ending, everybody. It's going to be an amazing episode. That's all I can say. Get ready. It's going to be glamorous, but also very rainy and swampy. There's going to be some unexpected moments and maybe some a cappella music. So it's going to be beautiful.
I'm excited.
I definitely It'll find be it to sweet. Be an inspo wedding for myself in many ways. So
it's very inspo for me, for my wardrobe. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So
lots to love about.
Hope there are no guidelines for my wardrobe at your wedding.
Oh no. Just give us your razzle dazzle. That's what I put on the wedding website, because you can like put dress code. I said just give us your best razzle dazzle.
Oh cute.
So we'll see what people do with
cool,
that.
Oh cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited, guys. Sad but excited. This is
I do want to know, even though it's a holiday week, I think we should still good old time's sake. How do you feel about Moira going back to Sunrise Bay? And there was another one I was going to say.
Oh, when I said something and you're like, yeah, this should be a pool.
Oh, if you were Alexis, would you have taken the check from Twyla?
Oh, yeah.
Because that feels like something that would be hard to turn down.
Absolutely. And would you ever buy a house without your fiance's or husband's consent slash input?
Or have you? Question mark. Yes.
I love the memes that come out this time of year that say, cue the commercials where everyone's a psychopath and buys a car without their significant other's input. You know how they always show up with giant bows on their
But when it comes to houses in the market these days, like, sometimes you're having to like show them over FaceTime if you're not in the same
or
spot.
Like buy them sight unseen.
Sight unseen. Yeah. Because it's so competitive. So
when Joe and I moved back from New York, he leased and picked out our apartment without me seeing it. And that was a huge step of faith.
Yeah.
Little did I know that, you know, apartments in Michigan were way cheaper and way bigger. I mean, I did know that, but it was all good.
So. It was an adjustment, I'm sure.
Yeah. But good week, good episode, Stephanie. Yes. I'm looking forward to next week and seeing you in person, of course, like always. Course. And seeing Sushant this time.
Yeah.
Nice getting the guys together too. So
definitely.
Safe travels to you as you drive to Michigan.
Thank you. Merry, merry to everybody.
Have merry a happy, everything.
Happy, happy Christmas. And we will see you next week for the season 6 and series finale.
On New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve.
So until New Year's Eve, y'all. Best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.